I'd like to welcome you to another edition here on The More Abundant Life. This program features inspiring messages and presentations by Pastor Wintley Phipps. My name is Adrian Westney Jr. I'm your host for today's program. And today we begin a multi-part series on the Ten Commandments. It's going to run for a few weeks, and it's a very, very interesting series as I have been listening in the preparation for this. I'm sure that you're going to be interested in much of what Pastor Phipps has to say on this topic, the Ten Commandments. Today we begin with commandment number one, here on The More Abundant Life. But as usual, before the message begins, we're going to have some music that's going to set the tone for the message for today. Here's Pastor Phipps now with the beautiful song entitled, It Is Well With My Soul.
With take my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul.
You are listening to the More Abundant Life radio broadcast. We just heard music by Wintley Phipps. It is Well With My Soul from the Billy Graham Favorites CD. Now, here's Pastor Phipps with our message.
You have your Bibles with you. Turn with me to the book of Exodus, chapter 34, verse 4. The book of Exodus, chapter 34, verse 4. Bible says, and he hewed two tables of stone like unto the first. And Moses rose up early in the morning and went up unto Mount Sinai, as the Lord had commanded him, and took in his hand the two tables of stone. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there, and proclaimed the name of the Lord. Oh, you didn't hear that today. The Lord proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children, unto the third and to the fourth generation. And Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. Oh, you didn't hear that today. He worshiped. And now I want you to turn once more to the book of Exodus, chapter 20. I'm going to begin today a series of messages on the Ten Commandments. Exodus, chapter 20, and verse 1. The Bible says, and God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. I often love to revisit this scripture. It tells how on the morning of the third day of their encampment, all Israel turned its eyes toward the mountain. Together they watched and marveled as God unleashed in their presence a vivid display of his awesome power. They watched as God gave new meaning to the word spectacular. Whenever God moves, it is spectacular. And that day on Sinai, God took an ordinary mountain, draped it in sound and fury. He took an ordinary mountain, dressed it in darkness, and like a conductor before a symphony, that day on Sinai, God gave to Israel a glimpse of his divine artistry. Starting from the top of the mountain, a thick, dense darkness moved downward until the whole mountain was wrapped in a curtain of darkness. High above the mountain, the people heard the sound of a trumpet summoning them to draw closer. Moses pointed his face to the mountain, and as he led his people to the base of that mountain, he prepared his heart for the highest privilege known to man, and that privilege is to commune with his Creator. As the people drew closer, from the darkness shot out white flashes of lightning, sharp peals of thunder. As God descended on the mountain, it shook. The mountain shook, quaked, and all the people fell upon their faces. The sound of the trumpet lay hidden from their view, grew louder, and then suddenly there was silence. The thunder ceased. The lightning stopped flashing. The call of the trumpet was hushed, and there was nothing but silence. And then amidst the stillness, out of the darkness and mystery, out of the shadows of the dim unknown, God spoke, surrounded by angels, in a veil of light shrouding his glory. God spoke those words from Exodus 20, "I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And thou shalt have no other gods before me." Here God was saying to us that you have to respect others, but you only worship him. You didn't hear me today. Respect the president, but only worship God. No one but God has earned the right to your worship. In Isaiah, God says, "I am the Lord, there is none other. I am Alpha and Omega, first and the last, beginning of the end, and thou shalt have no other God before me." That day on Sinai, God laid before us a clear and certain word. God was saying, "I was the one who stood in the black of outer space and said, 'Let there be light.' I was the one who called forth the moon and ordained the stars. I was the one who knelt down by the side of a river and scooped up a clump of clay. I was the one who formed you from the dust of the ground, breathed into your nostrils the breath of life. I am the Lord thy God. And thou shalt have no other God before me. I am holy, and you are not. And though I am holy, I yearn for your companionship. I hunger for your fellowship. I am the Lord thy God. I was the one who called you friend when you were friendless." Have mercy, Jesus. "I was the one who gave you hope when you were hopeless. And as long as you remain a created being, as long as you draw life from my inexhaustible supply of life," have mercy, Jesus, "I will be your God. And you will not, must not, shall not have any other God but me. As long as I am the potter, you're going to be the clay. And you shall have no other God. To none will your praise be sung." Woo! "To no other will your prayers be prayed. I'm the Lord your God, who sets the stars in their courses." You know, for a lot of people, this, they don't understand. This is the basis of all religion. This is the foundation of your faith. You see, how can I say it to you today? God wants to be sovereign in your life. We have decided that God no longer expects of us certain things like regular attendance to church. We've decided that we will decide. Oh, you didn't hear me today. We have decided that we will decide whether our faith will be sporadic or not, whether our faith will be intermittent, whether our praise will be sporadic. And in our arrogance and hypocrisy, we have declared certain areas of our life off limits to God. We fall out of favor with God and even earn his displeasure when we limit his sovereignty over our own lives. Church, in our blindness and confusion, we made idols of many things. We settled for a counterfeit faith. I was up this morning, and by the way, if you have the internet, I don't know if you know it, but your pastor's on the internet preaching every Saturday morning at 7 o'clock, WGTS.org. And I was listening to the message God had me preaching this morning, and it just amazed me how the Lord puts things in the preacher's mind. You didn't hear me today. All of a sudden in the message, I said, people who don't believe in God are out of their minds. Because the Bible says even demons believe. Even demons believe and tremble. So people who say, I don't believe in God, they're out of their minds because even devils believe. Have mercy, Jesus. We have come to an hour in history when it seems as though young people and old people don't really know who God is. And we need to be reminded of who God is. I admit to you, for many years, I didn't really know who God was. I found that in my life, if you can't answer this fundamental question, who is God? Over your life, you are missing the most important question and answer in your life. Everybody's got to answer that question. Who is God to you? God says, I am the Lord thy God. It's one thing to make a mistake in your Christian life on doctrines, but you don't want to make a mistake on this. You better know who God is, and you better know who God is to you. When we do understand that we must honor him, we must worship him. Listen to what Paul says in the book of Romans. Paul says that whether we live unto the Lord. He says, and even whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live or we die, we are the Lord's. Hallelujah. We must come to the point in our lives where we realize that we don't even belong to ourselves. We belong to God. We must come to the point in our lives where we see that every need we have, he can supply. Everything we want, we must somehow become lost in the swell of his will and providence, and he will provide it. All of life, from youth to the grave, you belong to God. You are not your own. There is never a period in your life when you are yours. Amen. Because we are the Lord's, there is no part of our lives that is exempt from his dominion. Oh, hallelujah. Whether you eat or drink, you belong to the Lord. So eat and drink as God has directed you. The Christian does not offer to God part of his life. The Christian offers to God all of his life. And I know how hard it is to pray over the things you really want, because you're afraid that God might say no. But be prepared because you are all his. Listen to what Paul says in Galatians 6:17. From this day on, let no man trouble me, for I bear branded on my body the marks of Jesus. Amen. Paul says, I belong to him. You see, in the Roman Empire, when a slave ran away and he was caught by his owner, he would be stripped, then the irons would be heated, and the owner's initials would be seared into the slave's body. Here Paul is saying, I have been branded with the seal of the living God, and I belong to Jesus. Every day I wear the mark that I'm his. Do you wear the mark that you belong to Jesus? On your job, in your family, every talent, everything you have belongs to God. That's why I make no apologies. When I was 16 years old, I made a decision that I was only going to use this talent for the glory of God. And I make no apologies. This belongs to him. Does not belong to Xerox. It does not belong to Budweiser. Are you listening to me? This belongs to God. Every note. You're not listening to me today. Every syllable. Every tone that comes from this voice belongs to God. I am not my own. I'm a purchase of God. I've been redeemed by the blood of Calvary, and I belong to him. Let me be God of your life, says the Lord, and I'll take you places. I reward those who diligently seek me. Not long ago, Ted Turner, who owns CNN, proposed that men do away with the Ten Commandments. A little money does strange things to the minds of men. He actually suggested that he could rewrite the Ten Commandments and improve on the old traditional commandments, the ones about adultery and and greed. I said a little money does strange things to the minds of men. He proposed instead 10 new priorities. And here are some of them. I love and respect the planet Earth. It's so cold. Are you with me today? It's not even poetic. I love and respect all living things, especially my fellow species, mankind. I promise to have no more than 2 children, or no more than my nation suggests. And I reject the use of force, particularly military force. Larry King later on reported Ted Turner's suggestions and said, Ted Turner's new 10 commandments make a lot more sense than the old ones. But you got to understand that, because Ted Turner is Larry King's boss. Amen. So no matter, brothers and sisters, what Ted Turner says, God says, I am the Lord your God, and you shall have no other God before me. One writer said, I find it amusing how such an ancient list of the Ten Commandments can still be so utterly relevant. A few years ago, thank you, Jesus, some university professors gave out copies of the Ten Commandments to their students and asked them to rearrange the Ten Commandments in order of importance. 90% of the students reversed the order of the Ten Commandments, putting the commandments about how we are to treat our fellow man first, and then the commandments about how we are to relate to God last. What they didn't understand was that there is a reason that God put it. Are you with me today? There is a reason God put those Ten Commandments in the order that he put them. Because God knew that if you don't respect God, you can never respect other people. If you don't respect the one who stood in outer space and said, "Let there be light," what makes you think that you're going to respect someone who is infirm? Listen to the order Jesus put them in. One of the teachers of the law heard the debate going on about the Ten Commandments. And noticing that Jesus was present, one of the religious teachers asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important one?" Now watch how Jesus answered. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the God, the Lord is one." And then he said, "Love..." "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength, because you will never be able to love your neighbor as yourself until you love the Lord your God with all your heart. No commandment greater than these." And the Jews understood that the first four principles deal with our relationship with God, and our relationship with God provides the foundation for our character and our relationship with others. Notice that the first commandment does not start, "You shall believe in a God." By the way, everybody has a God. A God is whatever has first place in your life. I said, in every person's heart, there is a throne. Hey, are you with me today? And on every throne, there is a God. The most important question is, what God sits on the throne that's in your heart?
Well, that brings us to the end of our message for today. If you'd like to obtain an audio copy of today's message, please call the Seabrook Church at 301-577-6342. Please refer today to program number 329. That's program 329. You may also email an order to the Seabrook AV, that's Seabrook Audiovisual or AV, at yahoo.com. Well, until next time, this is Adrian Westney Jr. wishing you God's richest blessings and letting you know you ought to remember the words written in John chapter 10, verse 10, where Jesus said, "I came that you might have life, and that life might be the more abundant life."